does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your comings and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second privilege, of course, is that you trust us with some of the most tender, vulnerable, and potentially upsetting and traumatic parts of your life. We feel honoured to be alongside you. And of course, we don't know the whole story. Sometimes no one ever does, apart from God. But you've trusted us with that particular part of your life at that particular time, and we count that an extreme honour and privilege. And you might expect us to feel this way, but if at some point we've let you down in those places of vulnerability or understandable insecurity, then we are deeply and profoundly sorry. Our only reason is to pray and love and care. The third privilege, of course, is not just that you're here and that you trust us with your loved ones and your memories of them, is to listen to something of what God would say. And it's certainly not that this pulpit, and it's certainly not that I've got all the answers. I'm standing up here so that I can be visible. We are not 6 foot above contradiction. We are all in this together. And so this afternoon, to unpack in a very simple and, I trust, loving way, a deeply held belief that the Christian church has. And in offering it, I pray that it will be a comfort and a solace and a reassurance to you at this time. Might I lead you in a short prayer after a moment's quiet? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for starting the Christian life. And we pray that your Spirit would come upon us now and help us to understand the things of faith, that with our lips and also with our lives, we might trust you more fully. For your dear name's sake, amen. I've not done a statistical analysis of this fully, but I'm pretty sure the most frequent question I get asked, or it's not quite a question, it's more of a statement: I don't know how people survive in life without faith. Actually, probably the most frequent question is, Vicar, where's the toilets? And even though there is a signpost there, and if you are bursting, as it were, it's out the door on the left and pass through the coffee lounge. But it's a very good question. How do people get by without Christian faith? It's a question with a caveat, because clearly if you did a straw poll of people of faith versus another — this is not an opinion poll, I promise you — an opinion poll of those who don't have faith, faith still stands, even though one might outweigh the other. Faith is based on a fact. Curiously, though, you can't prove it. We know historically that Jesus lived. We certainly know from people who didn't have faith that he died. And most of the watching world has tried to come to terms with the fact that after he lived, after he died, and after he rose again, there is a Christian church that's growing and vibrant, and Christians have something that other people don't have. That's the fact of Jesus within their lives. You can't prove it, but when you've got it, you ask the question, well, because it's so powerful, because it's so real, how can other people get through life without that? What does Christian faith mean? Faith, simply put, means trust. In a few moments' time, we are going to say the words of the Creed, a summary of the Christian faith. But it is true that you could say the words, you could even repeat them, you could even give a sermon on them, but still not actually trust in what they speak of. I want to mention an often forgotten phrase within the words of the Creed that the Christian Church fully believes in. It's there, I believe in God, to start with. And then it says a little bit later on, and I believe in the communion of saints. We're in All Saints' Tide at the moment. And the word communion of saints literally means communion, means you commune with someone like an intimate conversation, or when we receive communion, you receive bread and you receive wine, and you, as it were, take the presence of Christ or the reassurance of his presence within you. You commune with him. And this particular phrase that we all say in the Creed, I believe in the communion of saints, speaks of what the Bible says, that when there's a great cloud of witnesses around us, it's as if those who have gone before us into the next life and that we love and see no longer are in some senses, and now language doesn't help us because we can't describe in what sense, they are still with us. And we believe in that communion of saints that we are somehow still with them. Someone once said to me that they felt closer to their loved one when they received communion. And whilst you can't put it under a microscope and analyze it, you can't say it's true and prove it to everyone else, I think I know what they were meaning. But when we say, I believe in God, it's not just what we say with our mouth. We want to believe it with our heart, but we also trust him. And when we say, I believe in the communion of saints, there is a sense in which we believe that those who have died and gone before us are yet still with us. In the prayer book, it says that we remember those who have died in the faith of Christ and we ask for help to follow their good examples. So when you say these words in the Creed, perhaps say them in such a way that you want to trust that the God you say is there is someone you can depend and rely on. It's factually true that Jesus lived, that he died, and it's the discovery of all of our lives to find out what it means for us, that having cleansed our lives from hurt and failure and sin, his presence comes in by the power of his Spirit, and we can testify, sometimes even seek to prove to others that he is alive. I wonder how people who don't have faith get through, because we know the help of the risen Christ. And then when we say those wonderful words, I believe in the communion of saints, perhaps hold on, if you can, to the memory of your loved one. I think that's a good thing to do. Someone once said that you can sense when buildings are prayed in, and this building has been prayed in for hundreds and hundreds of years. Someone once said that there are two certain things in life, death and taxes. Sadly, we'll be hearing a lot about taxes and all the rest of the paraphernalia in the next few weeks. But however traumatic and sad and upsetting it is to think about the death of your loved one, remember there's someone who is certainly dependable, who you can say you believe in, who you can trust in with your heart and life. I believe in God. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again for me, and all others too who share that belief and trust. A moment's quiet before I lead you in a prayer. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus Christ, I trust you now with my life. May your Holy Spirit come in and be part of my life. Help me to live the life of faith, trusting in you day by day. Help me to believe in the communion of saints and the life everlasting. Amen.